welcome to another edition of Feral and Fabulous. I am extremely excited today because I have my better half and definitely back again for part two of the podcast. And we've had a lot of interesting feedback from the first episode, so I can't wait to dive into the second one. And this time we're actually going to be doing our anniversary, 15-year anniversary, both married 15 years and also in real estate together 15 years. So David Taylor, or Dave Taylor, as we like to call him, or my yummy man, army man, or any of the other things that we usually like to nickname and call him, or at least I do. So welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back. 15 years feels like 30 years.
Well, in dog years. Exactly. We do talk a lot in dog years, don't we? Well, the last time that you were on, we talked a lot about your, you know, your previous military career, and that was, what, 27 years? So fast forward to now being in real estate for 15 years. I want to kind of go back and say, when we first met on eHarmony, one of the things I was curious about, because, of course, it's like, I don't know, how many questions do they ask you? Like 500 questions or something like that?
Yeah, it's basically you take the Minnesota multiphasic inventory test.
Exactly.
It's 500
exactly.
Questions.
Yeah, you don't even want to do anything after that. You don't even want to meet anybody because you don't even know who you are.
You realize why you're not in a relationship after answering those questions.
That's true. That's true. But when we first met, one of the things that I did tell you is that I work a lot. And I think that you... I don't know that you really understood that. So I'd like to fast forward to when we first met and we were actually on the way to New Orleans, weren't we?
Yes, that was our, when I came back for mid-tour break, it was our first trip. We went to, I decided to go to New Orleans. And then we decided, well, we weren't going to fly. We figured we'd drive because it's just only 8 hours. We get a chance to catch up and talk. Basically, in 8 hours, I was driving, and I think I said maybe two phrases or three phrases to you, like, are you hungry? Do you need to go to the bathroom? Or we need to get gas.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a disaster.
Yes. So I think at that point, you kind of really discovered that when I said I worked a lot, I really wasn't kidding. So now fast forward to today, since you've been in real estate for 15 years, what do you think about it now? Like retrospectively in that moment, I think you thought the whole thing was kind of crazy. And so now what do you think about it?
Totally get it. I mean, what you were trying to do there was close up all your deals or get everything under control so we, you know, you could focus on having a good time that week. And that's, you know, real estate's just never ending. It's 24/7 if you do it right. It's Christmas Eve. It's Easter. It's your birthdays. It's, you're in the hospital. You're doing real estate. It's just, it's all consuming if you're going to do it right.
Exactly. Exactly. Because I can actually remember I had my last baby, my baby giant, Jackson. I was already in real estate at that point and actually was showing. I had him in October and was showing like as late as like August, which anybody that has ever been in San Antonio in August can tell you that it is brutally hot at that time. And so I can remember actually going into when I was going to have him. And again, trying to do the button up that you were talking about where it's like, okay, I'm getting ready to have a baby. I'm going to be out of pocket for a day or two, you know, and just trying to get everything to a point where it's at least somewhat calm to where you feel like you can take a breath. And so how do you feel about how you go about doing that now that you've been doing it a while? I mean, how do you try and get things squared away when you're going to be doing something or when we're going to be going somewhere?
I think it's like anything else, you know, you just kind of take a look at the task in hands and you kind of prioritize, you know, what needs to be done first and you kind of tackle those. And then and obviously with real estate, there's always the, I had no idea that was going to happen. And then you have to tackle those. And it's balancing life, you know, it's really, I mean, real estate's all a mindset and it's just, you know, it's going to keep coming and you know, it's not going to stop and you just got to kind of deal with it as it comes.
Right. Right. So I know you've been doing, since you've been doing real estate for 15 years, I know initially you were actually doing some sales. So you did a little bit of all the different aspects of real estate. And now for the last probably what I would say 10 to 12 years, you've been training agents. And so how do you feel about as a trainer? And obviously you've been training at a high level because you've had a couple of awards for the Trainer of the Year by a couple of different really, you know, high profile entities. So definitely you're very good at training. What would you say is the biggest thing that surprised you about being a trainer in real estate?
Well, it's such a multifaceted, complex, you know, business. So it's kind of, first, it's, you know, the military, similar in a lot of ways. There's a lot to it. So it's kind of just breaking it down. And what I did a lot was just kind of applying the fundamentals of military training to real estate training and try and break it down. Like we always say, you had to eat the elephant one piece at a time. So in real estate, it's always the two big things are doing the business or getting the business and doing the business. You have to get the business in order to do the business. You have to do the business correctly in order to keep the business. So I try and, I think like anything, you know, a lot of times reading, you know, it's agents, as we all say, they don't like to read and because we have a lot going on and they try and skim things. So really it's all about, I would say, the ability to focus and read and then comprehend what you're reading.
I know I'm a skimmer. And you know it. I'm not gonna lie because I know you know otherwise. But I've tried to get better about, you know, reading and comprehending.
No, it's all good. For the military, you had an operations order, just five paragraphs that you had to memorize. You couldn't carry it around with you because if you lost it on the battlefield or something, you'd be giving away everything that's going on. So that helped me out a lot when you translate that to the contract. I learned how to, you know, to memorize certain portions of the contract and what's important, what the key things are, what the high payoff things are. So that's what I try and focus on and helping agents to understand, you know, where the importance are in the contract and where the importance are and the messages you try and convey to clients. Like I've learned from you, normally you have to repeat things, you know, several times.
Right.
And you have to learn how to do it in a different way so it doesn't sound like annoying, you're being patronizing and working those key concepts into conversations, you know, as an art and a science.
No, I agree, because I think in the beginning you used to get very frustrated because you would overhear my conversations and you would say, you keep saying the same thing over and over again to the client.
And I'm going to drive this car into an embankment if you say what time you have to deliver their option fee one more time, because I got it the sixth time, you know, I mean.
But now you kind of understand, and you've said even you find yourself repeating things over and over again because sometimes it just doesn't, for whatever reason, they don't necessarily capture it on the first go round.
It's an overwhelming process. That's what you have to remember. I think, you know, most people aren't, they're kind of not really listening, because that's one of the challenges in any kind of communication is people aren't listening. They're thinking about how they're going to respond first and not listening. So.
Right. Right. And that's a skill that I think it takes a little bit to acquire, is being able to kind of sit back and listen rather than just being so quick to try and interject.
Yes. And you think, go back to your earlier question, I think one of the key things I've learned is to try and teach agents is to communicate through listening. You know, you don't want to be the one talking, you know, you want to ask key questions and listen to the feedback, because the feedback you're getting from your client is how you're going to be able to help them.
Right. Right. No. That's so true. And then looking back over the last 15 years, I know we have a lot of crazy stories. Definitely. Can you give us an idea of like, what are some of the craziest stories that we've dealt with since we've been doing real estate together?
I think probably the craziest, and is early on, it was a good introduction.
I know which one you're going to bring up.
It was all excited because I'd paid for a trip, you know, like around $7,000 to take us to the Black Hills.
Oh my gosh, I forgot that element. Okay, yeah. I knew the trip you were going to talk about, but we had a vacation planned to, you're from South Dakota.
Yep.
And so I had not been to South Dakota yet.
I was going to take you there to show you that we had running water and you could do email and you could use your phone. You had cell service and you didn't have to rely on the Pony Express.
That is true. I did think that it was going to be a scary kind of event, but I was looking forward to it and I forgot that we had that trip booked. Yeah.
We're going to go to the Mount Rushmore.
And right.
All the South Dakota tourism kind of stuff. And then, and you had a client that you're working that transaction. He was, down in one of the high rise condos and,
It was in the Vedora condo.
It was a relocation deal. And we're going to have to get into the specifics of relocation, but you have a certain timeline sometimes where you have to sell the house by, or the relocation company is going to buy it back.
Right.
So we had a deal where it was coming down to that, but it was under contract and came out to be that the.
That was when we had several properties that were involved in a leapfrog scheme. And that was actually even on the local news. Yep. So that's right. I had forgotten some of the details of that.
Yeah. And so anyway, it came down to the bottom line is the deal crashed and he was going to have to, he lost it was a good sum of money, the difference between the sales price and what he had to sell back to Relo. So we felt bad and we decided that we were going to help
him. I felt awful. Yeah. This was one of my just favorite humans and just an amazing client.
So what
and
you told me is that, hey, Dave, we're not going to be able to go to South Dakota. Instead, what I need you to do is get a U-Haul, call up some people. We need to load up his condo and we're going to take it to Chicago for him.
That's right.
And we need to be there by 5 o'clock tomorrow. And this is like on a Friday at 9 a.m.
That's right. And I think our trip, we were leaving on our trip in like a day or two.
Yeah, we're going to leave the next day.
Right.
So anyway, I got the guys, we went down there, loaded up the truck, trying to figure out how much we needed. We got everything into that.
And that was a difficult condo because you had to use a certain elevator.
Only
and
one
it
elevator.
Had the, yes, yep. It had the padding yep. in the inside of it. I'd forgotten about that.
Yep. So we got all loaded up by like 7 p.m. And you and I
was sick.
Yep.
No, I was sick. I think I had the flu. Yep. I had like 100. I literally was taking like Tylenol and aspirin, and I had like 102 fever even after dosing up on aspirin and Tylenol.
It was like the Blues Brothers, you know, we had going to Chicago, you know.
And I remember we stopped at that Starbucks. It's closed down since, but we stopped at that Starbucks, which I can't even drink coffee because I can't handle the caffeine. But it was at 7 o'clock at night. I was so sick. And we stopped at Starbucks and loaded up. And I think we both got ventis, like of something like with lots of caffeine. Yep. And literally, I thought my heart was going to explode. And we got on the road at 7 o'clock at night.
Red Bulls. And then it was like a bank robbery every time we stopped because we only had a certain amount of time every time we stopped where you could get gas. It was like calling out, they got 3 minutes, you know?
That's right, because we had to be at his, we had hired movers.
Had to be there by 5 o'clock.
That's right. Yeah. We had hired movers on the Chicago end of things. Oh my gosh.
So you're like, I go, no, we don't have time. You got to go. We got 2 minutes and 15 seconds.
That's right. We had it. I forgot this.
Every time
you're
we got gas,
me.
We were calling it out like it's a bank robbery.
That's right. Oh my gosh.
And so fast forward, it's about four. We're switching off. You'd been driving and it's about 4 o'clock in the morning. I think that we never slept. No, we took a
Neither
wrong
one
turn.
Of us.
We got off track. We were in Arkansas for some reason. We shouldn't have been in Arkansas.
Yeah. How did we end up in Arkansas?
I don't remember.
I was born in Arkansas, so I felt like it was my, kindred town.
We're getting pulled back. But so it's about 4 a.m. You were driving. We pull in there. We're going to switch off. I take over. I get some gas. You know, the play in the U-Haul is the wheel. So I get my coffee.
We didn't have a lock. I mean, we didn't have a, what do you call those things?
We didn't have a combo, so we had to use
those typical locks that you use on a U-Haul because it was so last minute. So we ended up improvising and we used a lockbox from one of the properties.
We had a combo lockbox
hanging off the back of the U-Haul.
So anyway, we were pulling out of that convenience store gas station at like 4 a.m. in the morning. And
it was in Arkansas?
Yeah, Arkansas.
But where? Was it in Little Rock? I don't remember either.
In Arkansas. Yeah. Middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
So I spill coffee on myself. So I swerve over the center line. I'm like, and then I swerve back, and all of a sudden you see the lights come on. It's a highway patrolman.
That's right.
So he pulls.
You were driving.
Over.
Yeah, were driving at this point.
I didn't say you were. I was driving. I just took over.
I remember when the lights went on.
So we get pulled over, and he comes up, and it's a typical highway patrolman, asked me to step out of the car because I think, he goes, your eyes look really bloodshot. And I said, yeah, I've been up for 36 hours, and I've been driving for almost like 12 hours now. So, he asked me to step out of the car. He's like giving me the sobriety test and stuff like that. So I passed.
And I remember I looked really messed up because I was so sick with the flu. And I think my eyes were so red. I looked like a mess.
He's like, ask me, what's your name? My name's Dave Taylor. What's her name? Kimberly Howell. That's my wife. And he's like, well, why do you have separate names? I go, well, I don't need to break it to you, but some people get, maybe not in Arkansas, but some people get married and they don't keep the same name,
Yes, so. I remember you were being a complete, like, crazy man with the officer.
No, I was frustrated at that point. I was like, either arrest me or I'm not drunk. I swerved over the center line. That's what I'm guilty of. If that's a fine, fine me. Give me a ticket.
Fine.
Let me go because we're on a timeline. I got to get going, I tried to explain to me because that just doesn't make sense. Or I go, tell me about it. I didn't think it made sense either when my wife told me at 9 o'clock this morning that we're what we were doing,
No, but then I think he left you at the back of the vehicle came around and put the flashlight or whatever in my eyes. And then he made me show him my ID.
Yeah. I go, see, I wasn't lying. Her name's Kimberly Howell, right?
Yeah, no, but he was fascinated by that. He thought that was the craziest thing. No, and we
he
were
kept
married.
Asking question, yeah, that you got married. I go, yeah, it's marketing. You think she's gonna change all her marketing at real estate? I mean, to keep my name, I'm good with it, you know.
We had to have a counseling session while we were getting ticketed by an officer, you know. Yeah. But then he made us both get out and go and open up the lockbox. Yep. Because he wanted to see what we were hauling.
Yeah, we were smuggling, you know. I go, see, once again, I'm telling you the truth, you know.
But at that point, we opened up the back and everything looked okay, although it was kind of like piled to the top. But he could obviously see there was furniture. There was nothing, you know, amiss.
We're not hiding any illegal aliens in here. So
we had nothing. Yeah, we had nothing to hide. Nope. We had nothing to hide. We were just like, I was sick. You were just, you know, pissed.
So he let us go. So
yeah.
And then fast forward. So then we make it, fast forward, we're pulling into Chicago. It's around.
And
like,
we made it.
Yeah, we made it. And then you're like calling the moving company.
Yeah.
Because we're having to hire movers to meet us at the property.
I'd already contacted them. I just wanted to make sure they were going to be there when they said they would.
Exactly.
So and they weren't there when we pulled up. So I was a little scared.
So then we get there. And the one piece of furniture that your client had was the only, I mean, he loved.
It was Copenhagen.
Yeah, it was a Copenhagen, like. Glass coffee table.
Yes, it was super.
It was high end. It was a really cool table. And
it was
then,
like a $6,500 table, I think.
And as soon as the movers opened up the door, that table fell out and it was just a pile of just glass rubble on the street. You know, it was like dust. There wasn't even like one piece. You couldn't even like pick up a glass piece.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to cry at that point. I was so sick and I was so tired and we were so exhausted that I thought I was going to lose it.
Your client was a good dude. He took it in stride. He realized kind of what we'd been through just to get to this point.
Yeah.
So we got everything moved in. We made it in time. And then,
And didn't he even give us a ride to the airport?
Yeah. He gave us a ride to the airport to O'Hare to get a rental car. And then, we still had a gift certificate from our wedding.
Yes.
To stay at the Ritz-Carlton.
So you're right. We stayed at the Ritz because Lisa Munoz and Cindy Bush had given us a gift certificate to the Ritz, which Ritz-Carlton, which, you know, who knew, right? That we would end up staying at that in Chicago of all places. Yep. And then we decided to, I have to out us because we didn't even talk about this. I don't know. You don't even know I'm going there with this. But before we left Chicago, and I think this is the first time we'd ever been to Chicago, right?
Yes. Well, I mean, together.
No, together. That's true. This is the first time we had ever been to Chicago together.
Yeah.
It was not our plan, but we had heard that there was a casino just outside of Chicago.
We stayed there that night, though, in the hotel. And we watched. It was a Thursday night, I remember, because I went down and watched football.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. I got hurt.
Yeah, you fell out of the tub.
Yeah.
And hurt yourself. And I was like...
Forgot about that.
And then you were telling me,
I was hurt. Hurt.
I fell. I'm down in the bar watching the football game. I said, like, how hurt are you? Because it was a close game.
I was hurt bad.
I wanted to make sure.
I was hurt bad because I had dislocated my bad
knee. I felt bad. So then I came up and. Anyway, then we slept, went to bed. And then we got up the next day and we were going to drive back. And then we said, hey, you know, there's a riverboat casino down here, you know. So we said, okay. Maybe, you know, we could just do a little bit of gambling.
A
couple hours, and then we'll get on the road. So we get there like about 11 a.m. or whatever, I think. I remember walking down the stairs. We'll just play some blackjack, maybe, you know, a couple slots or whatever, and then we'll be back on the road by like, you know, maybe 2, 3
o'clock.
And
we didn't really have any cash because we hadn't planned to go.
No.
Because we were trying to figure out how to get to an ATM.
And then fast forward like about 12 hours, you know, I'd hit like two jackpots.
Pretty quickly.
I'm playing like two machines at one time and it's like 11 o'clock at night. And then we just.
Well, we'd started drinking too.
We started drinking and just, we played till like 4 a.m, you know. And then we didn't like have it. We'd given it all back to the casino.
And then,
then we go, we can't like, we got to go, you know.
I didn't even have any money to get anything to eat.
No, we had to go we were going to get a hotel. So we were like, there's a Ramada Inn, I think. So we start driving, then we go to the McDonald's beforehand.
The sirens were going by all night.
We went to the McDonald's first, and then we're like, we don't have any cash on us. We're like digging through, like maybe just scrunch some, you know, change out of the change dish and like to pull it together, and we split a Happy Meal, you know. And then went to the hotel, and then at that point it was,
But it had roaches everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It had roaches.
You wouldn't
crawling
take your shoes off. And I said, I don't want to go look for another hotel. With just
No, there were like hundreds of roaches. And I couldn't even freaking take a shower because
I was proud of you.
Out.
You stayed there. I go, this is going to be military for you. You're going to deal with it.
Yeah.
And you did.
So. Well, I felt bad because we'd missed the trip. Yeah. I'd forgotten that we'd missed the trip to South Dakota.
That was all good. You know, and then we got up and then we drove back the next day.
And And I think we made it back in how long? We drove straight through on the way back,
too.
Yeah,
it was probably 17 hours or whatever it is. And you left your iPad in the rental car.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that, too.
Then we had to go back and get your iPad. And
my God.
So that was real estate.
Yep. Okay. Well, you know what?
Doing anything you can to help the client.
I think you picked the best story of all of the ones, because we've had some kind of crazy stories. Yeah. I mean, definitely that was probably one of the most memorable. And it was crazy. And then I think it was really pretty soon after you got into real estate. I mean,
yes. Yeah, that was like.
What year was that? That had to be pretty soon.
That would have been like 2013, probably.
Okay.
I would say no later, because then we went back. Then we finally did take you to South Dakota the first time. Then they had the winter. We went in the October, and it was when the government closed down, so we weren't able to go to Mount Rushmore. We had to drive by. It was like, I told you, it's like in the 70s, my dad, this Paul Mall hanging out of his mouth. Hey, look, kids, there's Mount Rushmore.
That's right.
Yep. And then we had Stuck Steven, and we had the whole snowstorm, and they had the cattle
Oh, yeah.
All that.
Now, what year was that we actually did make it to South Dakota?
2014.
Okay. Because that was the year that I won $12,000 on the first jackpot I hit was $12,000.
Yeah, Mountain Grand.
You
couldn't help. You'd bump into a slot machine. And
no, you're right.
It was crazy.
Yeah, I've still got the pictures. From all the different casinos that I won money. Yeah. And then we walked next door and I won $3,200. So I won
$15,000 that night.
Over $15,000 in like a 4-hour period or something like that.
It was
crazy, but it was fun.
And then a snowstorm, we walked back from the, all the cabs were closed. We had to walk back to the hotel in the snowstorm.
Kevin Costner had a what was the name of his casino?
I'll think of it in a minute here.
The Midnight Star.
The Midnight Star, after the movie.
I forgot. Yeah, that's right.
It's closed down now, but he has some other casinos, but he had that one. Had all his movie memorabilia in there. He liked to go, from his movies.
Oh, so. I'm having nostalgia. We need to go back. We need to go back to South Dakota. We haven't been in a while.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years.
Yes, it has. Okay. Well, I'm gonna hit you with a different question that's gonna take us down a whole different path. But back to the training side of things, I want to know what you think when you first start training an agent. I want to know what you think determines, or can you tell fairly quickly if you think an agent's going to be successful or not? Because I know you've trained a lot of agents over the last 15 years, or at least 12 years that you've been training. I want to just know if you think you can determine fairly soon whether they're going to be successful or not. And I don't think I've ever asked you that question.
You know, I'd have to say no. I wish I could tell you that I do, but sometimes it's kind of a unique thing. It's kind of like in the military. Sometimes you thought a person was going to be really great, but then when you got in combat, they folded like a lawn chair, or you thought
really
vice versa. This person is just going to buckle, but then all of a sudden when they stepped up to the played under pressure, they perform. So sometimes I think I do, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes, I would say I'm less than above 50%. But
really?
And I think it's at the end of the day, maybe I go back, like I said, it's mindset. The people that won't quit, that won't give up, because we always say in real estate, if you can gut through your first year and kind of hang in there, there's a better chance you're going to make it, obviously, than not. But I think it's the mindset. It's the people that they're not afraid to ask questions. They just keep plugging along and stuff like that. I wish I could, if I could write a book, if I could label the traits, it's going to make somebody successful or not successful. But I'd say I've been right and wrong probably just as many times if I thought
really?
Somebody was going to do. Yeah,
that's so interesting, because I honestly thought you were going to tell me that you could predict.
I wish I could.
Interesting. Okay. Because you've definitely had a lot of successful agents that you have under your tutelage over the years. But I also understand that, some of the agents have not been able to succeed for various reasons.
But it's like at the end of the day, it's not me, it's them. It's like, are they willing to do the hard work? Are they willing to stick with it? Are they
I'm gonna say otherwise. I'm gonna say it's a combination. I totally agree with you. I think that the person has to be dedicated and they have to want it that bad. I do agree with that. But I also feel like how they go about learning and who trains them, I think makes a difference. I really do. Because I think there are some agents that you have trained that I think under a different scenario, they would not have made it. And so that's, and I can just say from my observation. So I do feel like it is a combination of both. I think you have to have both. It's kind of like lightning in a bottle, if you will. I think you have to have a really good agent that has that mindset that they want it bad enough. But I think you also have to have a trainer that cares enough and that really takes the time and adjusts that how they train them to suit their personality, which I think you maybe have learned in the military. But I do think that that's super important. I think it takes both parties to really kind of, you know, make it happen. Although I can't imagine where you might have an agent that is so driven and wants it so bad that they can learn in spite of who they have training them. But I think there are many agents that I think it is a combination of both. I think it's just depending on the scenario.
No, I agree. And like you said, you know, training, teaching is, you have to tailor it to the individual. And there's sometimes
when, Dave Taylor.
Yeah, there you go.
You're tailoring it to the agent.
I snuck that in there. but in quotation marks. But in the military, a lot of times it's like you get uniformity, like either conform or you don't. You know, a lot of times in the military, it's like, you know, they're not going to like check you out individually and see what needs to happen or whatever. You know, it's like in a lot of military training that's, they don't really explain things. You always equate it to, it's like in the 70s with, you know, with your parents and stuff like that. It's like, I'm not explaining it to you. You're just going to do it. You know, as my dad's Paul Mall hang out of his mouth. He wasn't, into explanations. He just, because I told you and you're going to do it and you got to keep driving on. So I think in some ways that's older agents and things like that. I think it changed in the 90s. Not that I'm going to be the old man, get off my lawn type thing, but I think we were raised.
But you can be.
Yeah, I think we were raised differently in some ways, you know.
That's so true.
I mean, back in those days, your parents, you know, like, I'm thirsty. Well, there's a hose outside, you know, go
exactly.
Drink out of the hose. Dad, the dog peed on the hose. I don't care. Unscrew it. Drink from the spigot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Wash the hose off and don't leave the hose out so the dog can pee on it next time.
Right. Right. Well, we both talked about that. We both had dads that were very, you know, just buckle up, buttercup, you know, not ones to be like, oh, don't worry about it. It's all going to be okay. I mean, they were pretty tough.
And I think because then we became parents, we never got an explanation. So I want to give the explanation. So we're trying to rationalize with a 3-year-old why they should take a bath and go to bed when it's just like, you know, you're going to do it. And that's because you're going to do it.
Because I said, exactly, right. Exactly. Yeah. No, in hindsight, I feel like I should have taken more lessons from my parents than I did, because I think I was so, in many cases, I was so ready to rebel that I didn't really take into account some of the valid, points of view that they had, you know?
But to go back to your earlier question, sometimes I use kind of military techniques like that. Like in the military a lot, they never kind of tell you, they might kind of give you a vague standard of what you need to do, and then you just kind of keep doing it. And, you know, and a lot of the courses, like in Ranger School, and you keep asking the instructor, am I doing it right? And they just kind of look at you, just keep doing it, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. It's kind of like the wax on, wax off, Karate Kid type training. And it's really to test people's mindset to see if they're willing.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I'll just, you know, kind of give something to an agent and they'll kind of like, they want to ask a million questions. A lot of times they just tell me what the answer is and I don't want to tell them what the answer, I want to tell them how to get the answer. That's the real thing. A lot of agents, they just want you to tell them, hey, what should I put in this blank? Well, it's not about what you should, it's how you think about what you should put in this blank, because what you're going to put in this blank for a term in one situation is going to be different than how you're going to do it in another situation.
Well, it's kind of the difference between basically giving someone a fish or teaching them how to fish, you know? And if you just give somebody a fish, they can eat that meal, but they may starve later. But if you teach somebody how to fish, then they're going to be able to sustain themselves long term.
That's really kind of the philosophy behind.
Yeah.
And I know it frustrates some. And we all know in real estate, there's not one size fits all. How you do something in one situation
isn't
is totally different than how you're going to do it, because it all applies on the client, the property, and the seller and the buyer and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me, because I know you don't have any idea what I'm going to ask you. And quite frankly, I don't have any idea what I'm going to ask you. But I want to know, what has been the biggest thing that surprised you about real estate that you really had no idea about?
It's an extremely difficult job if you do it correctly. I had total underappreciation for it. I'd worked with real estate agents before in my military career.
And that's right. You'd bought and sold several properties in your life.
Now, like how horrible a client I was to them. I had no idea what I was doing, but I thought I knew what I was doing. But so that, you know, and it's very similar to, like I said, you know, the military, the only thing that's different is, you know, you're not getting shot at and you're not have bombs going off. But to do this job and to do it right is just, you know, I'm not trying to blow smoke. It's just an extremely difficult job and it's very stressful and it can wear on. Just like in the military, it's 24/7. You spend a lot of time away from family. You try and block off your family time. You try because people always, you know, you're trying to always protect your time. But at the end of the day, you're there to support your clients. And if your clients need your help at 10 o'clock at night, then it's my philosophy. Then you should answer that phone as best you can, you know?
Right. Right. No, 100%. I think you and I are both a lot alike in that regard. Although I think that in many ways, we are a bit of an anomaly because a lot of other agents are very rigid. And this is something that I've always felt like I've been deficient as an agent to kind of like control my time better than I do, because I'm one kind of like you talked about. If a client reaches out to me at 10 o'clock at night and I'm up, which you know me, I'm always up. I'm always up till 10, 12, 1, whatever. But I mean, if I'm up and I'm able, I respond to them. And of course, other agents tell me, why do you do that? You need to set boundaries. And they say I don't set boundaries. And so in a way, I feel like I'm not good at setting boundaries because I just feel like if I'm able to help business. Them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I remember even before my Josh, my son's, my former mother-in-law, she was a real estate agent.
Yeah.
She was from Midland, Texas.
Yeah, and we were great.
And we were at a Christmas dinner.
She was at our wedding.
Yep, she was at our wedding.
Yeah.
We were at Christmas dinner. It was like, you know, 9 o'clock at night. And we're all there at the big table, the whole family. And all of a sudden, her phone rings and she picks it up. She goes, I got to take this. And she steps out. And I'm like thinking, what kind of person is going to have to take a phone call on Christmas Eve?
No.
Little did I know.
No, exactly.
It was a ghost of Christmas future right there.
That's a great point because that's exactly now I feel the same. And I'm one of those people. It can be Christmas Eve. And if somebody's hair is on fire, legitimately, I'm going to step out and help them.
There's, you know, we talk about you have to set boundaries and things like that. But but at the end of the day.
Yeah, but my boundaries are loose.
Exactly. It's not. That's how I met you. No, I'm just kidding. But.
No, that's for a whole nother podcast.
But at the end of the day. At the end of the day, I mean, that's just what we do. I mean, the people that when you call them on a Friday and the agent's answer machine says, if this is Friday after 5 p.m., then we will get back to you on Monday after 8 a.m. That's
time blocking.
That's just, it's absurd.
I know. I do feel the same. I mean, you and I are very simpatico on how we choose to do real estate, including how you train and
versus
how I
do it. The last thing I want to do is have an agent that's freaking out, you know, at 11 o'clock at night. They got some client that's asking them a question.
Not going to sleep because they don't get help.
They have no idea how to answer it, and they're just going to fret. Yeah, exactly, because I know that's how I would be, so I don't, you know. It's within reason, but for the most part, that's kind of why I operate. I don't want them to have to, I want to try and give them the best answer I can, you know, so they can, you know, at least try and get a couple hours of sleep.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. Okay, so besides things that have surprised you in real estate, what do you think has been the most exactly what you thought it was going to be? Like, has there been anything you're like, yep, that's what I thought?
No.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I actually.
I had no idea when you were. Okay. You know, like 15 years ago when I was, you know, like a couple months out from retirement. And I remember I was talking to you on the phone. And you're like, hey, what are you going to do? I said, you know what? I think I'm just going to, you know, do like the typical 95% of all the other retirees. I'm going to get a government service job and kind of basically try and do the same thing I'm doing right now, except as a civilian. And you said, really? Why don't you ever thought about real estate? I said, absolutely not. What are you talking about? There's no way I'm going to do that job. You know,
fast like, forward.
Yeah. Like Gilligan, you can't make me, you can't make me. You
know? And then I did.
You did.
I know. It worked out well for me.
You're a great recruiter. You know?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. We will have another podcast to discuss my recruiting techniques. We have a new Feral or Fabulous paddle. If you will please pick it up, and I've got a few things to ask you. Yes, exactly. Super cool. New. I know. Katie, our producer, she got us a new paddle. So now we don't have to worry about it kind of going crazy during the episode. So, okay. My first one for you, traveling.
Traveling. I'd say fabulous.
Okay. I thought you were going to say fabulous because you love to travel.
No, I love to travel.
I don't.
I know. Well, I know. You'll, you know, not overseas. We're going to get there, though. We'll eventually get there.
I know. I did commit.
That's from my time in the military. I've seen a small portion of the world, but it's great.
I'm just scared to go.
You're going to love it.
Okay. Huh. I know. It's been a long time since I've traveled overseas, but I'm going to do it again. So just for you.
All right. We got that on record.
Oh, gosh. Okay, now I'm so screwed because I now have committed to it on record. So, okay. Next one is sherbet.
Sherbet?
Uh-huh, sherbet.
Sherbet ice cream?
Yes. Well, yeah.
Not really.
Really?
Barrel.
No. Okay. Interesting. You totally surprised me on that. Yeah. I thought you were going to say that you loved it.
Nah, more chocolate chip.
Okay,
twist,
that's true.
Chocolate vanilla,
Yeah. So. Okay.
Maybe a little mocha, but sherbet is just now.
Okay. I would totally have been wrong on that. I was going to guess that you were going to say fabulous. So, okay. Well, I guess I won't be buying any more sherbet.
Yeah. We wouldn't do very good in the dating game, I guess.
No, that would be the honeymoon. What was that called? Not the dating game.
No, not the dating game. You're right.
The newlywed.
Newlywed, yeah.
The newlywed game.
Web Eubank. Yeah.
Web?
Was it? Or
no.
Web?
Gene Eubanks.
Gene Eubanks. Anyway.
Wasn't it?
We're Eubanks? Getting it all wrong. So. I know.
Exactly. Somebody will correct us. I don't know who it was. Wasn't it Gene Eubanks?
I'm not sure. Was he Match Game? I'm not sure.
Bob Eubanks.
Yeah, Bob Eubanks. Yeah,
thank
Gene
you.
Eubanks.
Okay.
He might have been the dating game.
Lupus Thunder comes through for us again.
Match Game 75 or whatever Bob that guy's
Eubanks.
Name was.
Yeah, no. Remember that? It was dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. Yeah, we're maybe
Katie
we can
has
have,
no idea what we're talking about.
No, I know. Exactly. If you're less than probably 60, you probably don't have a clue what we're talking about, right?
Or less than 50.
Yeah, probably.
We don't want to make people think like she's in her 50s or something. Like
well, no. But I just meant, she's a baby. So
she is a baby. Yeah.
She wouldn't have a clue. I mean, anyway.
Talk about the Transformers or something.
Yes. I mean, I wouldn't know much about that. Okay. Next one. Ocean. Yeah.
At first I always said like feral, but now I think it's fabulous.
Okay.
I was raised on rivers and lakes, coming from South Dakota, but since, I've been down here and then obviously went to scuba school. It was my first in the military. It was my first introduction to the ocean. I had no idea what I was doing.
So have I converted you?
You have.
Okay. Okay. I love the ocean.
Yeah.
But I knew at first you weren't necessarily a fan, but I was curious to see if you'd kind of transition.
No, because there's things in there that can eat you,
Well, that's true.
Not a lot of times in lakes and streams. Well, you could have you could go into a moccasin.
True.
But yep.
But we rarely venture out that deep into the ocean, Most of the time we're either in a boat or we're just like to our knees.
Well, the real deal
like
is
that.
You got more chance of getting killed by a mosquito than you do for a shark. So that's a true statement.
That is true. And when you look at it that way, it's like, what's the big deal,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
Yes, let's just talk about that the next time we're at the coast. So, okay. Daylight savings time.
As a dog owner, feral. I mean, I hate it. Because
I do too.
You're changing times of dogs. You can't explain to a dog that, no, you're not eating right now. It's another hour.
No, you're right. But here's the thing. We're both.
And I get it from real estate too,
No, I hate daylight savings times. It is so unnecessary. I don't even know why they do it. Because the reason that they did it in the first place years ago is really no longer a thing.
It's for the farmers, so they have more time to plant.
I get that. But I don't think it's even a thing anymore. And I think they just do it because they've been doing it for so long. And I think it's unnecessary. I think we go back to regular time and leave it the way it is. It just time is what it is.
Whenever you talk like that, it reminds me like in Iraq when we were trying to balance operations and things like that. And you had like daylight savings time and you're trying to talk back in the rear and things like that. And finally, there is no daylight savings time. We're all in the same time. Just, let's keep it simple. People are showing up an hour earlier. Why did artillery just shoot,
Oh my gosh. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, it's crazy. Trying to think about that, a complex
because
operation.
I guess you don't have daylight savings time.
Assets coming from different places, different times.
And so. And I guess there isn't daylight saving time across the world, right?
Well, there is, but I mean, they decided we're not going to do it.
Not everybody does it 100%, right? And it's all different times.
Yeah, I'm not an expert on it, so I don't want to go down that road. I can't tell you what country has it or whatever. I mean,
like, some China do and has some like don't.
One time or two time periods for that size country or whatever.
Okay. All right. Yep. Then it sounds like we're both the same on daylight saving time.
No, thank you.
Let's get rid of it. Okay. Rock climbing.
No, Farrell.
Me too. Me too.
It doesn't excite me whatsoever.
Me either. It sounds like a knee injury waiting to happen.
Or breaking your back or...
Well, that's true,
or
too.
Or dying.
Yeah. Yes, all of those things sound like they might not be too fun. So I'm going to agree with you. Okay, the last one I've got for you is going to be a surprise, a complete surprise, ice bar.
Ice bar? Anything with bar in it? Bar is fabulous.
That is true. Yes. That is so true. But I have to tell a story on you because I can't remember. Okay, Matt, I'm going to have to ask you, how many years ago were we in the ice bar with the whole team? I can't remember. Was it maybe 3 years ago?
I think it was a little bit longer than that.
Was it?
It was probably before COVID, I thought.
It was before COVID?
Yeah, before COVID. Probably 2018, right around there.
Oh, really? It's been that many years?
Yeah, you're going to talk about when I was well served.
You were overserved at the ice bar, and you...
I was a satisfied customer. I got my money's worth.
You were a satisfied customer, but it was so cold. And anybody that's been to an ice bar, I don't know what temperature they keep it at, but everything has to be frozen. So it has to be below 32 degrees because as soon as you go in, they give you a parka. Basically, you're in
a parka.
You got a hat,
parka, gloves, and everything.
And you'll actually be drinking out of sometimes... ice glasses, and they pour the alcohol into an ice glass.
So coming from South Dakota, this reminded me of drinking in teenagers, you know, when you're outside in the winter.
Yes. And the thing is that you were so overserved that you didn't even have your parka on, and you were like...
I took it off and just walk around, no gloves.
And then you left and came back, and you didn't even know where you were. And
I knew I was in the ice bar.
I got lost
trying to come back. Then you're talking to me on the phone, and you're so... I'm so disappointed in you, you know?
That's not the words I used. I assure you.
We're on a family network here, so I'm not going to use that.
Okay. You're not telling
me. I'm paraphrasing that. You said you were very disappointed in me.
Okay. Yes, I was very disappointed. Yes, I guess you could say that in those terms. But it was fun. The ice bar, I actually did kind of get a kick out of the ice bar, but I'd never been before. And it was kind of fun.
Yeah, it was cold. A unique experience, yeah.
It was a unique experience, and it prepped me for our trips to South Dakota.
Yes.
Because most of the time we go in the winter for whatever reason, which is insane.
Yeah.
Cool.
Best time to go.
Cool. Awesome. Right. Well, thank you so much for being again on the Feral or Fabulous portion of the podcast. And we look forward to seeing you guys on our next episode. Bye.